Hey, what's up there, everybody? Jacob Burton here from StellaCulinary.com, and welcome to another episode of StellaCast. In this episode, we're going to do something a little bit different. A couple weeks ago, I had a local journalist come in from Moonshine Inc., which is a publication in the Reno, Truckee, Tahoe area, which is where I live and where Stella Culinary resides. And she wanted to interview me for a story she was doing. So I figured, what the hell, you know, I asked her permission to throw the mics on. And so we did the interview where she was asking me questions on the microphone in a podcast. And we recorded it because I thought that some of you guys might find it interesting to have the tables turned a little bit and hear me answer questions from the perspective of somebody who's digging deeper into what we do at Stella Culinary. And we talk a little bit about the transition from the normal five-night-a-week fine dining restaurant that we were doing for over 5 years into our new model of Stella Culinary. So I thought you might find it interesting. Who knows? Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll hate it. You never know with these things. But that's what we have in stock or in stock. That's so stupid. That's what we have planned for this episode. And then this week, at the moment that this episode is being released, I will be doing a culinary boot camp. So that means that my time is pretty much just completely taken up for the entirety of a week as I focus on teaching these very intensive five-day boot camps that I do. So you won't really see much activity from me as far as producing podcasts, or you won't really see me around the forums over on StellaCulinary.com for about the next week. But I'll hop back on the following week. So if you're listening to this in real time, feel free to still ask your forum questions. If you have a cooking question for the Ask Chef Jacob podcast, you can ask it at AskChefJacob.com, and I'd be happy to answer all that stuff when my boot camp is over in a week. All right, guys, enjoy the interview. All right, so this is Ashley Owen from Moonshine Inc., and she's here to interview me, which is a sort of switching the tables around.
All right, Jacob. Well, I guess let's start off, and if you just want to give me the lowdown on the culinary classes that you are offering.
Yeah, so right now, if you... You can always find it on shop.stellaculinary.com.
Okay.
As far as what we have, but the classes that we're offering are farmers market classes, which are the one-day cooking classes, and then our boot camps. And we have done a few more one-day classes in the past, but because of our summer schedule, we have a lot of events. We're doing a lot of the pop-up dinners that are themed. Great. So we've scaled back on the one-day cooking classes, and then we're holding a boot camp once a month right now.
And do you want to describe a little bit more about that boot camp program and what that's all about, how that began?
Yeah, definitely. So how it began. So I started a website about 8 years ago called freeculinaryschool.com. And it was based on a culinary podcast that was there really to teach you how to cook like a professional chef. So it was there to fill the void of, you know, you had a ton of cookbooks out there and a ton of recipe websites, but there wasn't a whole lot of websites based on the actual technique and the science behind cooking. So I started that and gradually built up a following. And there's a lot of basics outlined. So how to make stocks, how to hold your knife, basic cooking techniques, the five French mother sauces. So when I got here and rebranded as Stella Culinary, I wanted to do a boot camp, but I wanted something. I wanted to be special, you know. I already had so much information for free online. I didn't want people to show up and learn the exact same thing that they would learn online for free. So I created what's called the S-Step curriculum, and it's a five-step process that I believe is the best way to teach people how to cook. And the difference being that in classical cuisine, when you go to culinary school, you're taught how to cook sort of by trial and error, in the sense they give you a recipe, they tell you how you mess the recipe up, and you keep on following these recipes over and over and over again. They give you tons of different classic recipes, but they never really talk too much about the building blocks behind those recipes and how to make them better. And they rely a lot on them as blunt teaching tools. And eventually you start to see some patterns emerge in those recipes. Tough cuts and meats you braise, you make a stock for braising liquid, but it's really a roundabout way to learn how to cook. So the F-STEP curriculum is an acronym that stands for flavor, sauce, technique, execution, and preparation. And it's the process in which I teach, and it's also the mindset and the mental exercise that I encourage people to go through before they cook. So it's the whole purpose is to teach you how to create your own recipes and stop following other people's recipes. And that's really the big difference between what we teach and what a classic culinary school would teach.
Awesome. And what was the F-STEP? What does that stand for again?
Flavor, sauce, technique, execution, and preparation.
Awesome.
And I mean, really the thought behind that is, so I mean, I can give you a cookbook and you can maybe make a recipe, but you don't really understand what's going on in that recipe if you're new to cooking. You know, and we boil a recipe down into flavor structure times technique, and that's really any recipe. So we start with F. F is for flavor, and we talk to you about flavor structure and how to define the elements that create a flavor structure and create a complex flavor structure. And once you understand flavor structure, then you take that flavor structure and your understanding of how to create a flavor structure, and you paint it over various techniques, sauce making, braising, sautéing. And that's the first step in you really learning how to create your own recipes. It's first understanding flavor structure and then how to apply a technique to that flavor structure.
Wow, that's awesome.
And then so when you break it down in that sense, it becomes very formulaic. You know, the issue with a lot of cookbooks and learning how to cook in general is there's a lot of mysticism behind it. You know, people think that, you know, they do a couple of flawed recipes and they think, oh, I'm a bad cook. You know, I don't know how to cook and I'll never be a good cook. I don't have the talent. I don't have a palate. And it's all learned stuff. But there's nothing more frustrating to me than to see other people get frustrated because they can't even identify a bum recipe because they don't understand the building blocks of a recipe. So they see a beautiful food photo online or on TV that's done by a stylist, and they go, oh, I'm going to make this recipe, and then it doesn't turn out. And what they don't realize is it was a bum recipe to begin with. So they had failed before they even began. So
it's a bum recipe, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just like bad recipe.
Yeah.
You know? And that frustrates me. And so my approach is to teach people how to create their own recipes.
Do you wish that when you began cooking that you had did you do the more traditional approach with the bum recipes or the class and the mess ups that you'll probably still do even if we warn you about it? Do you wish that you had sort of had this?
Yeah. Well, and that's that's why I'm so connected to it, is because this is sort of the curriculum I wish I had a decade ago when I was learning how to cook. Because you go to culinary school and they teach you all these classic recipes and these techniques, and they have a very set curriculum. Mm-hmm. And then you step out in the real world and you're like, it's like, oh my God, I'm not prepared to actually be a chef, especially if I want to work in a higher end kitchen. Mm-hmm. You know, you spend $60,000, $100,000 on a culinary degree, and you come out and you're lucky if you're a prep cook or if you're qualified to be a prep cook. You know, because there's a lot of on-the-job training that's necessary. And a lot of that comes from the fact that, first of all, they're not teaching you how to operate under pressure in culinary school.
Right.
So it's hard, you know, so it's hard to understand the pressure of working in a professional restaurant and the demands of that coming out of culinary school if you never worked in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. But number two, they're teaching you how to cook based upon, you know, 100, 150-year-old recipes that aren't used in high-end restaurants anymore. And nobody goes to, you know, nobody spends $60,000 on culinary school and says, hey, I want to flip eggs at a diner. You know what I mean? And there's nothing wrong with doing that, but that's not why you go to culinary school. But that's pretty much what they're preparing you for when you are graduating, is how to work in a high-volume restaurant, how to work in a high-volume diner. Hotels hire a lot from culinary schools, and those are the easy to grasp jobs for graduates. So that's what they're preparing you for. Mm-hmm. But people don't want to be executive chefs of hotels out of culinary school. They want to be the next Thomas Kelly. They want to be the next Grant Achatz. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference.
Right. So would you say that a lot of your students are more already in the culinary world, or do you have a range of different levels, beginner, mm-hmm. intermediate, advanced, like for the, mm-hmm. the boot camp, we'll say?
Yeah. Yeah. So we have a range that, you know, from people who have never really cooked before all the way up to professionals who own their own restaurants. And the way that the curriculum is designed is there's something in it for everybody, because it's a process that you walk yourself through. So even if you have a basic understanding of the concepts that we talk about, we're really tying all of those together in a linear fashion and giving you the success formulas that you need. Mm-hmm. And so we're filling in a lot of knowledge gaps. So, you know, we had people who were just retired home enthusiasts at our last boot camp, right alongside a guy who owned three locations in New Jersey of a of an Italian restaurant. And because we keep our class sizes small, and because we're really teaching a universal formula for success, we're able to work with an individual who wants to do recipe R&D and get some new dishes on his menu at one of his three locations, or somebody who just wants to make an awesome 4th of July meal for their, you know, 10 close family and friends. And there's no separation. You know, it's all, when you follow, and that's what's nice about the formula and the curriculum, is when you understand that formula and that curriculum, it doesn't matter if you're cooking a multi-course tasting menu for 100 people or if you're making a grilled cheese sandwich for your 5-year-old daughter. There, it's the fundamentals are the same.
Mm-hmm. And that must be nice, probably even more so for the people that are new to cooking, to, you know, not feel like they're in the, you know, the very elementary sort of group where mm-hmm. everyone's like, this is a knife, you know, where they are alongside people that are already in the field and right. already, you know, succeeding. And I feel like that a lot of the times when people are learning something new, it's the overwhelming, like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know anything about it. And I don't think I'm any good at it. That can sometimes be like a huge, like, blockage in people's minds mm-hmm. when they're, you know, like pursuing something that they want to do.
No, absolutely. And so I find too that when you, I mean, you don't want to complicate things, obviously, but right. also too, when you oversimplify something, especially when you oversimplify something to a beginner, they see that oversimplification and they're like, well, you know, if I have to learn all these very simple, basic things, and this is what they refer to as simple, then what's the advanced stuff like? And how am I going to ever achieve that? And so what we like to do is we like to do a lot of simple and advanced techniques and simple and advanced dishes side by side. And show them, say, hey, the building blocks are exactly the same. The execution principles are exactly the same. But, you know, the advanced dish is a little bit more intricate. It's going to take a little bit more muscle memory to get your knife skills down so it looks pretty on the plate. We're using more of an artistic approach to our plating style. There's a few more components to it, so that complicates your flavor structure a bit. But the flavor structure principles are still there. You need acid for balance and to make the dish bright. You need salt for proper seasoning. You need some fat for the mouthfeel. You need a crunch. You need texture. It's all universal. It's all the same. Mm-hmm. And so they see those two dishes side by side, and then it starts to click. They start to get it. And on the final day of boot camp, so it's a 5-day boot camp, and on the final day, each student will present a dish that they came up with. And the stuff that they come up with, I mean, I have pictures on the website, is amazing. It's restaurant quality food and stuff that they never thought that they'd be able to cook 5 days prior. But they get to that point because we've broken it down into in a formulaic fashion for them. You know, so again, we're stripping away the mystery. We're not saying, hey, you know, I'm this big special chef because I can make a pretty plate of food. It's like, no, what we do for a living is all very formulaic. And here are the formulas that work for us.
Awesome. And so you traditionally do have like, is there usually a balance in the previous boot camps that you've done of different levels? Like, mm-hmm. I know it's open for it, and
yeah.
that just sort of naturally happens like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what makes it fun, because you get people from diverse backgrounds. One of the things that I'm really proud of our boot camp is we do a max of 12 students per boot camp, and I have myself and then my chef de cuisine, Ben Knox, and then my sous chef Alex Downing who have been working with me for over 3 years each. So they understand fine dining. They understand my style of cooking. They understand the F-step curriculum. Versus you go to other boot camps that are held at larger culinary schools, and you're looking at 16, 18 students per one instructor.
Right.
So there's no way to get that personal attention. And we really focus on that here. We define people's goals, and then we have our personal goals as instructors to give every single student that we have at least one win a day. So something that they felt that they could not accomplish when that day began, they are now accomplishing it at the end of the day.
That's awesome. So I feel like cooking, some people look at it like gardening. Like mm-hmm. what you were saying before, like they make a couple bad dishes or, yep. you know, something doesn't turn out and they're like, oh, I'm atrocious. I shouldn't even be in the kitchen. It's like, you know, the green thumb thing. People are like, I kill plants. I'm yeah. automatically. It's
absolutely.
Like, and I think it's definitely like some people make it look easy
mm-hmm.
or something, or we like to think that it is, but that's awesome. So let's see. And then did you tell me when you started doing these boot camps?
I believe our first one was 2012.
Okay. And has it evolved at all since it began? Was there something that you found wasn't really working and like you fixed it up so it was, you know, just mm-hmm. more conducive for everyone learning or?
Well, the curriculum is always evolving.
Right.
We're always refining it, adding to it. And what's nice is we get the live student feedback from people. So, you know, we'll do a, we do a morning lecture and then cook lunch, do an afternoon lecture and then cook dinner. And there's a lot of opportunities for myself as an instructor to get feedback. So every time I get feedback or every time I feel like a student finds a hole in the curriculum where, you know, I assumed that a question had been answered, but it obviously wasn't clear to them, then I have the ability to go back. So every single boot camp that we have, we're actually doing an updated and refined curriculum for it. So after the 3 years of doing it, the curriculum has come together very cohesively. And there's still quite a bit of work to be done. There's still a lot of information that I want to add. Mm-hmm. There's some refinement points that I want to make. It really just started off with me wanting to give people that mental shift, which, you know, since our first boot camp, I'm proud to say that we accomplished, where it's like, you're not showing up here for me to hand you recipes that I know work and for me to just watch you make them. Like, that's boring. You could do that at home. Mm-hmm. You know, you could live in Hong Kong. I can send you a recipe. You can make it. You can take a photo with your cell phone, email it to me. I can tell you how it looks. And I already know how it tastes because you followed the recipe.
Right.
You know, so what I want you to do is I want you to come here and learn the process for creating a recipe. And then when that recipe fails, awesome. Now let's troubleshoot, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you have any, ultimate success stories of someone that came in and like was just totally over, like, you know, just felt that they could never cook, but they really wanted to do it. They had no experience and now they're doing something or you don't have anything.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at our, at the sales page where we go into detail about the boot camp, there's like, I can send you a link, but there's quite a few testimonials from past students. And they all have their own stories. Mm-hmm. You know, and really it's about taking them where, 'cause the culinary world is so massive,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it takes a lifetime multiple lifetimes. You can't know everything. But when you start piercing the veil formulaically, then you start realizing that there's a lot of universal ideas
mm-hmm.
that make recipes work. So people can come in and they express an interest in, you know, cured meats or charcuteries or baking bread or Asian cuisine or European cuisine. And we split them off into their respective groups and we start showing them how the techniques and the overall flavor structure is the same. It's just how you're applying it is now different.
Are there any notable or examples of different recipes that maybe you guys have created in the past in the boot camps that were just to give me an idea of a couple of different ones? 'Cause I can mm-hmm. totally imagine, but.
Yeah. Well, so for example, just recently, our last boot camp, we had a guy by the name of Marco Lentini, and he is the gentleman who owns three different Italian restaurants, and he cafe style restaurants, and he focuses on paninis, but fusion paninis. So he has a real strong background in Italian cuisine, mm-hmm. but he wanted our help in creating some paninis. And one of the things that he wanted to focus on was a a banh mi sandwich. So the Vietnamese mm-hmm. banh mi sandwich. We want to do a panini style. So, you know, we were able to help him work on a Vietnamese style baguette that incorporated rice flour, a Vietnamese style marinade for chicken thighs that he could barbecue, and all the different condiments, everything from the scratch mayonnaise that had, you know, fish sauce and different Vietnamese flavor structures in it, to the garnishes that would go on the sandwich, to how it would be presented in his panini case and how it would be executed. So that's a recipe that we helped, that he came to us with as far as, you know, wanting help in developing. We said, okay, Marco, I mean, that, you know, it's your journey. You know, we're going to work on this the next few days. And then he emailed me a few weeks later saying that the first time he ran that panini sandwich, it sold out in 30 minutes.
He said a couple of weeks later?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a good success story and a recipe on one, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have mostly out of town locals blend that attend these?
It's a good mix, you know. Mm-hmm. So we have, we have Truckee locals that have eaten at Stella or have heard about us through word of mouth. You know, a couple people from Reno, Incline Village, but the vast majority of people who come in are out of towners. They're diehard fans of StellaCulinary.com. They've liked to cook. They've gone through a lot of our content online. And we basically have more than the first year of culinary school for free online, plus a lot of the recipes and techniques that we use at Stella for our dinner service. Mm-hmm. And, so the people who are coming really want to take their game to the next level. So we have guys flying in from the East Coast, from Canada, really from all over, and staying a week with us, which is fun because then we get a nice cross section from all over the United States and really North America. And so it's fun to see the perspectives that they bring as well.
Do you have any theories on why you think these boot camps are so popular with people? Like, in anything, do you think that? Well, I mean, I feel. Well, I think that this is the only offering in this region that is like this, mm-hmm. and maybe outside of that as well.
Yeah.
Do you think, is that the case as far as you know? Just the way that you break down how you teach cooking?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, because so the thing is people have a lot of access to me online already. They can go, they can watch my videos, they can listen to my audio podcasts, read my articles, you know, so they can already make a decision before spending the money whether or not they connect with my teaching style.
Mm-hmm.
So that's helpful. Definitely, because, you know, we're asking them to make, you know, quite a large investment, not only in the cost of the boot camp, but, you know, they're buying plane tickets and they're traveling and hotel stay. So they're able to understand if they connect with me on that level before they even, buy the ticket. But also, too, I mean, I really think that, you know, what makes us unique is the top-down approach of our own curriculum. And really the philosophy that drives that curriculum, you know, I mean, again, it's just you go to other classes and it's like they have recipe handouts for you and here you go. Our recipe handouts are blank sheets that have various spots for them to fill in the formulas of their own recipes. And we give them a pretty large recipe book to take with them as well, that are all, you know, classic Stella recipes and recipes that we've tested. But we encourage them to use those as jumping off points. And so really the approach that we take it, and my approach to really, you know, questioning everything, testing everything, culinary dogma is absolutely forbidden. If I can't give you the scientific explanation as to why or how something works, then I'm excited. I say, you know what? Like, I don't know how that works. Let's do some research. Let's do some testing. Let's do some blind taste tests. I mean, we had an explosion on the Stella Chlorine forum of people interested in making great chicken wings. And they were just asking us lots of questions. There's a lot of questions that we couldn't answer. So that led us to test 30 different variations of chicken wings, all based on technique. We have more tests lined up for tomorrow before we publish our final findings on these recipes. And so between myself and Ben and Alex, we've spent, you know, countless hours and gone through at this point probably 1,500 to 2,000 chicken wings, testing out these different theories and finding what works and what doesn't work. And that's the difference. That's what drives us. Is, you know, it's not good enough to just do a chicken wing recipe and be like, oh, that's good, that works. It's like, well, what if we did this or what if we did that? And then let's put aside all of our bias, our personal bias, and let's do double blind taste tests where we're going to line these chicken wings up. We're going to mark the bowls on the bottom. We're going to mix them around and we're going to taste them blind. And then we're going to write down our answers. So that way our answers aren't influencing each other. And then we're going to look at, you know, what method we really like best. And that's a lot of fun for us because when you put aside those biases, you are shocked at some of the surprises that you come up with. I mean, we recently were, so one of the things that we're working on now, one of our larger products is, or projects, is we're going to do a massive curriculum dump on pizza online. So we have the wood fire oven. So we shot for Sicilian, New York, Chicago, and Neapolitan style. You know, and we have different techniques and recipes for all the doughs. And we were looking, so we, when we're doing Neapolitan pizzas here for a banquet or something, we special order our canned tomatoes. But we're like, well, we need to go and basically just buy every canned tomato available in Truckee from supermarkets to, you know, to taste test what's available to the general public.
Okay.
And so we bought about 10 different types of canned tomatoes that were going to be the base for our sauce. We tasted them just raw in a double blind taste test, lined them up. And our result was absolutely shocking. Our favorite brand by far was Save Mart's organic brand. I would never have guessed.
Wow.
One of the least expensive, just a generic Save Mart organic brand tomatoes. And it was in our double blind taste test. And the thing is, if we lined them up with the labels on the cans and tasted them, I guarantee we would not have picked that.
Oh, yeah.
We would have just been too biased against it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. That's awesome. So you're going to be uploading all of the pizza curriculum
mm-hmm.
online soon?
Yep.
Awesome. And then you mentioned before a little bit about, you touched on the investment of mm-hmm. this class because it is not like a, oh, I'll just try it out. And
yeah.
Like that's definitely a commitment. So I just was curious, like what does, so that entails 5 days of classes all day with the, mm-hmm. with the lectures and then food for three meals.
Yeah, so they're basically on property for 5 days straight, and once they're here, you know, they have total access to us. So they come, they get a couple of Stella jackets with their names printed on it, which is a nice little token to take away. But also, you know, I think it's an important mental step too. You put on that jacket, you're like, okay, now I'm ready for business.
Mm-hmm.
So they get the three meals, two of which they cook. They get complete access to me all day long. I mean, you know, we'll serve dinner at 6 p.m. and sometimes I'll be here till 10:30, 11 p.m. at night talking to people because it's, mm-hmm. if you're here, I'm going to answer your questions and we're going to keep on doing this until your goals are achieved. So we take that investment very seriously.
Awesome. And would you say that the general feel of the class, like if I could be a fly on the wall, is mm-hmm. is it fairly like relaxed and everyone sort of like talking and like buzzing in little groups? Is it fairly like, I don't know, is it more like not strict isn't the right word,
yeah.
but you know, a little bit more just like straight and just like we're working, we're cooking?
Yeah, so it's a mixture and okay. we try to mix it up, but I think it would not be unfair to describe it as intense. And we do that on purpose because again we want to give you your money's worth, really. Mm-hmm. But we also, too, we want to shock you into what's possible. Everyone's been in that situation where they're at home, they're having people over, and they're rushing around their kitchen, and they're feeling stressed, they're feeling the pressure. Mm-hmm. And your family and friends, they're coming over to hang out with you. The food's secondary, you know, but you're in the kitchen, you're stressed out, you're disorganized, you're having a hard time getting everything ready and, you know, timing everything perfectly. So we want to put you in that environment here and let you feel that stress, but then have our hands helping you guide your way through it, helping you pinpoint the missteps that you took in that process and saying, hey, here's your execution flaw. Here's your timing flaw. Do you understand the universal concept of this formula here and why you're now in the weeds over here? And they can see that. So we have, you know, and we'll have times where we will speed it up and purposely put them under pressure and give them time restraints and say, hey, you got to do this in X amount of time. And we expect you to have lunch up at this time. And, you know, obviously we're there helping them along the way. We don't just let them loose. And then we have other times where we calm back down a little bit, because I find for my personal growth as a chef, that's also how I operate the best, where it's intense, 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 just really hitting it hard. And then I get to a point where I really don't have any more mental space or any more mental stamina. And I've just been focusing on that intensity for, you know, a few months in a stretch. And then when I have a chance to drop back and relax, that's when I get a flood of new ideas. And my creativity really just goes in overdrive. And then so you use those peaceful or those calm times strategically for creativity. And then you go back into the intensity and you start applying those creative ideas that you had in your calm moment. So we try and recreate that exact same structure and cycle in our boot camps.
That's awesome, because I think you had mentioned something a little bit before that, and I mean the name boot camp. Mm-hmm. I mean, that doesn't sound like necessarily a walk in the park.
No,
but it's important, because that is the true case about a lot of things in like the education. You know, you get your education in something, mm-hmm. and then the real world looks a lot different than right. The classroom or the you know classroom kitchen or whatever, you know, whatever it was. So I think that, and that's something else that people. Yeah, it's like the pressure is on when you're cooking.
Yeah, well, and also too, we only have 5 days with them, so we give them the curriculum to take home with them. We give them access to us online, but the 5 days is to really give them a crash course in like, and here are the building blocks, and really those building blocks will last a lifetime, to where they will as you continue to cook in your kitchen and you keep on remembering the formulas and the basics that we teach you. And how they come together, you know, you can, it's just, you know, it's like you look at an amazing building versus just a mediocre building. I mean, they're still made of the same fundamental materials. They're still going to stand strong in a storm, you know, but one is much more tasteful than the other. So when you understand the building blocks in food, mm-hmm. And so that's what we're looking for people to take away. We're not expecting somebody to be, you know, a fine dining executive chef level after 5 days with us.
Right.
But if they apply what they've learned at the boot camp and really practice, they can get to a very, very high level in a much shorter period of time. Because, you know, a lot of things that I know as a chef and that, you know, my fellow chefs in my generation know, a lot of it was learned through trial and error. You know, because we didn't have the guidance there, like, you know, of the shortcuts.
Definitely. And I feel like the internet is a really awesome resource for mm-hmm. that. And I think that it's allowing a lot of people, you know, both with and outside of cooking and the culinary world, to be able to, you know, do it themselves, like build their own, make their own music, learn how to play yes. the guitar by watching YouTube videos. Like, that is insanity. Like, how cool that, like, we have the skills and the resources, like, pretty much right at our fingertips.
Well, and again, that's why the building blocks are so important, is mm-hmm. because then you're able to go out and look at the vast, I mean, it's amazing how many different recipes are online. You can almost find anything you ever wanted and thousands of versions of it and variations. And then you can start picking apart those recipes and seeing what they have in common, what they share, what their techniques are, what their flavor structures are, and make a pretty informed decision on how best to cook that recipe before you've ever even cooked it. Right. Just by understanding the building blocks and then just by comparing a few recipes side by side.
That's awesome. So let's see. Is there any like little known facts? I mean, I think that it's great that so everyone gets a chef jacket with mm-hmm. their name or yep. just tell
it. Yeah, yeah, their name great. Embroidered on it.
Any other little known facts about the class that you think are really like, you know, just an awesome element that just creates it into a other than what we've already discussed?
Yeah, what really surprised me actually was the camaraderie of the students. You know, because you have people coming from all different walks of life from all over the country, and but they share that one thing in common, which is the passion for cooking. And every single class has always taken it upon themselves to pass around a sheet and get everybody's email and phone number. And each core group of students that comes through our boot camp, they stay close friends for quite a long time. And they're constantly going back and forth because they have this shared experience and this shared knowledge that is you know, that really connects them. And to me, that was cool. And that was something that I never really expected to see. I just figured the students would come, they would learn how to cook, they'd go home, they'd try some recipes. But I think sort of the unspoken reward that a lot of these students get is they get some lifetime friends out of the deal as well.
Well, it is like quite an awesome like hangout time, especially, you know, like I do it all the time. Like my mm-hmm. friends and I are like, oh, let's get together and cook a meal together. It's just it's a nice like common ground to be able to share. And it's it's a part of life. Like
yeah.
you have to eat. So you may as well enjoy it and enjoy doing it yourself and
absolutely
getting your hands dirty. So let's talk a little bit about the transition of Stella mm-hmm. and of you and of what you have been doing for everyone that is wondering why they can't come to Stella right. for dinner on right. like a normal night uh-huh. anymore.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have been here or I've been the executive chef here for 5 years and we were very, very fortunate in the reception that we got from the Truckee community, and it was awesome. And before I even stepped foot on property, though, I was running freeculinaryschool.com, which we co-branded into Stella Culinary, because it was always, when I was hired here, it was always Patty Baird, who owns the Cedar House, it was always her larger vision to have a property that was more than just a hotel and a restaurant. You know, the versatility of having culinary classes and special events, and really, because we're a small property in a small environment, being able to cater to those very specific needs and fulfill requests that just simply aren't possible on a much larger property. And so that was something that was always in the back of our minds, which is why, you know, when I first started here, we immediately co-branded Stella Culinary together. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, to pull off like the high-end weddings and events that we're known for, we needed a team that was used to working together. You couldn't just, you know, grab a team of part-timers off the street and expect them to execute a high-end wedding.
Right.
So we said, okay, well, we need to open up for dinner service on a regular basis. And just through luck and the fact that we always respected our customers and, you know, would never, you know, always wanted to push the envelope for them and always wanted, and we took a lot of personal pride in always becoming better. And every time we wrote a new menu, that new menu had to be better than the last one, at least in our perspective. It kind of grew into its own beast. And, you know, over the course of 5 years, Stella got to a point where it was its own entity. You know, it became something greater than us all. We were just all kind of a part of. And, you know, I was hanging on for the ride. And I got to a point where, last summer, June would roll around. And it had been like this for a couple of years. You know, June would roll around and we would get absolutely crushed with reservations. And we sold out all the way through to the end of October. So busy every single night, five days a week. In Stella.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and part of what helped us maintain our quality and our consistency is I felt very strong, and you don't have A team and you don't have B team, you have A team. And A team works year-round, 5 days a week, that's it. We take a vacation in November, we take a vacation in May. Outside of that, there is no part-timers, there is no B team, there's only A team. So what that meant is in the summertime for 4 months, we were working 12, 16-hour days, just getting crushed. And especially trying to maintain the standards that we had set for ourselves. And I, you know, and I was asking every single one of my employees to sacrifice a lot to be a part of Stella, for the greatness of Stella, really. And it worked really well. We all sacrificed, and we were able to build this restaurant that we were very, very proud of. Then at the end of last summer, I had completely neglected StellaCulinary.com, but even through my neglect, it had grown leaps and bounds. And I would hate to give you false information, but when I was looking at my analytics from the prior year, it had just shot up immensely without even a whole lot of new content.
Wow.
And I had a lot of demand for new content. I had a lot of people asking questions on the forum, a lot of people asking me, hey, what happened to the audio podcast? You know, what about the videos? I had people being frustrated because we would announce the boot camps and we could only do one boot camp a year. And those would sell, I mean, our last boot camp before we started doing them more regularly sold out in 23 hours. You know, so people were frustrated and we weren't able to fulfill that demand. And I realized with how rapidly the website was growing and with the demand of Stella the restaurant, that there was quickly going to become a point where I wouldn't be good at either of them. I wouldn't be a good executive chef anymore, and I wouldn't be a good online educator anymore. And I needed to do something about that. So I thought really long and hard for months. And the only person who even knew what I would, you know, that I was even struggling with this was my wife. And you know, we'd have conversations about it, and she, you know, she knows how much I love to teach, and it's a big part. But she also knows my drive to, I love serving people, and I love cooking food for people. It's a big part of what I do. So I couldn't just let that go either. So my proposal, I went to Patty and talked to her, who's always been, you know, extremely supportive of everything that I've ever done. I mean, you know, and that's really a, you know, big portion of the secret to our success too is, my name gets printed a lot in the papers, but you know, if you don't have a supportive owner, it's not going to happen. If you're constantly battling with the owner and you don't feel like you have that support structure there, you know, there's no way that success is going to be achieved. It doesn't matter how talented you are. Mm-hmm. You know, so I went to her and I said, hey, look, I love Stella. I'm proud of what we built. You know, we've been doing the fine dining restaurant thing for 5 years. I've been neglecting the culinary education side, which I really love doing. And, you know, I feel like I'm ready for something new. And I feel that if we keep on, if we don't shake things up and if we don't do something new, that we run the risk of being stagnant. You know, after doing something for 5 years in the restaurant business, I mean, that's an old restaurant. You know, and then you come to a point where you're like, okay, so when you reach that 5 year mark, at least from my perspective as a chef, you have two choices. Either we become an institution and we don't change a thing, mm-hmm. or you shake things up. And I wasn't, you know, I'm 31. I wasn't ready to become an institution at mm-hmm. that time. I was ready to shake things up and I was ready for something new, but I wasn't ready to leave Truckee. And if I was going to stay in Truckee, there's no way in hell I was going to leave the most beautiful property in Truckee.
Right.
You know, so I want to do that something new here on this property. And and Patty was, totally for it, which was, you know, I wasn't surprised because she's always been so supportive, but I was surprised in the sense that I was asking her to take a really big leap of faith. I was asking her to take one of the most popular and most successful restaurants in the Reno, Truckee, Tahoe area and completely overhaul it into this new, we didn't even know what to call it at the time because it's like, well, sometimes we teach, sometimes we do pop-ups, sometimes we do private events. And really it's just like we do the things that we love doing and that keep us excited. But because we had had such a close working relationship for 5 years, you know, I didn't need to put a name to it. I didn't need to describe it in the full detail that I would to somebody else who, you know, was an outsider. She knew exactly where my heart was at and where I was coming from. So she got it right away. Then it was just us kind of trying to figure out how to tie everything together and make it actually work.
Yeah, I like what you said about the, if you don't have a supportive owner, because I can assume that there would probably be a lot of other property owners that if you had said, I want, you know, if you had proposed that to mm-hmm. them, they would have been like, no way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. this is, the going is good. Like, we're just going to keep on.
Yeah.
Which is definitely, then you do run the risk of
yeah.
either becoming, like, stale or, you know.
Well, and I knew too. I mean, I knew personally that I was ready for a change mm-hmm. and I wanted to do it here and stay here. But I also knew that approaching, you know, Patty with this idea, I could pretty much be giving up the best executive chef job in the area.
Right.
You know, I have it really, really good here. And I ran the risk of giving that up because this was something that I had my heart set on doing. And, you know, and if she wasn't into it, then the discussion would have changed to, well, you know, let's talk about me training my replacement.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and honestly, it wouldn't have been that hard to replace me because I've been training my replacements for the last 3 years. They work for me in my kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, they could have easily both stepped up to the plate. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep. Well, that's awesome. And how exciting. So how does it feel now? When did the official, this is recent that mm-hmm. the actual change was announced and
yeah. So our last day was of regular dinner service was April 19th. And so now our focus is we're multifaceted in the sense that we do, culinary education is a big part of it. So I have more time to work on the website, and do the culinary the educational content there, mm-hmm. but also the boot camps, the 1 day cooking classes. But we also do the pop up dinners, which are a lot of fun too, which we call Stella Undergrounds.
Okay.
And what's fun about those is we pick some dates. We usually do them back to back. So Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and we'll pick a theme, and then I'll sit down with my guys, and we'll write a menu, and it's a set menu. You go online, you register, you buy a ticket, and that's it. And it's one seating of 30 people, and it's community style. So it's like so to us, it's like being able to do a really fun dinner party, but we're getting the opportunity to show off the dishes that we're most excited about. So we have time to do more research and development, more recipe testing. A lot of those recipes end up as content online. So it's a very mm-hmm. symbiotic relationship. But you know, people come and you know, like our first pop-up dinner is ramen. Cause I had, you know, I'm just a food nerd in general. And I was doing, a ton of R&D on alkaline ramen noodles.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a 9-month process for me of just constant testing and constant failure. And I broke 3 different pasta machines because the dough was really stiff. And it was to us, like that was a real statement of, come eat a bowl of ramen and it's going to be awesome. And we yeah. did a Japanese theme. So we got in some really high end fish from Hawaii that we got flown in and did, a nigiri course first and then gyoza course second. Ramen third. And then our last one was an Italian theme. And we started off, we were just playing around in the kitchen with squid ink pasta. And we're like, let's embrace the black. Like, so right now, spring transitioning to summer, you see a lot of bright, vibrant colors. And we wanted to, do a classy dish that was like monochromatic. So we did the black Italian or the black squid ink pasta that we hand rolled with black trumpet mushrooms and black garlic, and then we garnished with pecorino and toasted pine nuts. So you had that white contrast,
mm-hmm.
And it turned out beautiful. But us wanting to do that dish and being inspired by that concept, then we wrote an entire Italian themed menu around it. You know, and what's fun too is when you come, it's just like a dinner party in the sense that the first half hour is snacks. So we have a bunch of snacks laid out. Everything's BYOB, so no extra charge. You bring in your own wine, you bring in your own beer, So it's a lot more laid back. Mm-hmm. And then you're welcomed with snacks, and you just mingle around for a half hour. And our snacks are based upon the theme. So for our Italian theme, we had, mm-hmm. you know, wood fire ciabatta with 10 different kinds of Italian style charcuterie and mixed olives. For our upcoming, our next pop-up dinner, which is next week, we're doing American Classics Reimagined in honor of the 4th of July weekend, so July 2nd and 3rd. And for us, you know, we were kind of sharing our fondest food memories of, all being, grown up in the United States. And it was all appetizers that we would serve, on the 4th of July or at Christmas. Mm-hmm. So our snacks section of that menu is quite large. You know, we want to greet people with our take and our twist on a lot of very familiar appetizers from, mm-hmm. A shrimp cocktail to, stuffed mushrooms to, our homemade smokies that you get those like little tiny sausages and the yep. served in the crock pot. So all of those things, but done from scratch with our twist.
Awesome.
So it's a lot of fun. And it allows us to do things that we just weren't able to do when running a regular restaurant.
Right. And I know that I know of other chefs that sort of like had a similar progression where mm-hmm. after a while they were like, this is no longer what I truly love to do and what feeds mm-hmm. my soul so much. And so I want to reevaluate this so that you can tap into your own creativity. And I think that sometimes the repetition after a while of a restaurant does get tiring and wearisome, especially if you get really excited about the squid ink pasta. And,
right.
There's no way to change the menu this late or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, kind of back burner it for a while more, but that's really exciting. So how have the responses been from the community so far?
It's been really good. We've had a lot of support. There's been some people who don't understand it, which is it's natural with change.
Right.
What really bums people out is they want to have the opportunity to come, five nights a week.
Right.
But my argument to that was, Stella, even in its old format, wasn't a place that you ate at, once a week. We were a high-end restaurant. It was a special occasion restaurant. So there's still plenty of opportunities. It takes a little more advanced planning. Mm-hmm. And, in the past, in the summertime, we would sell out sometimes, 2, 3, 4 weeks in advance on a Friday, Saturday night. So you would still have to plan in advance and make a reservation.
Right.
So this way, it's different. And what I really love about this structure is – it was always sort of a weird energy exchange at the end of a dinner where people they go through, they spend a couple hours eating with you and they have this really awesome experience and they're really just satiated and just hanging out and loving life, and you drop a check. It's like, and now they got to do math and they got to sign their name, they got to wait for the waiter to bring the check back and all right. that stuff. And so with the ticketing system, it's just you pay one flat fee online, you buy a ticket, you show up. Everything is taken care of. You get to focus on enjoying a good time. You don't have to worry about, wrestling with your father-in-law to pick up the check. Mm-hmm. All that stuff is decided and taken care of in advance. So then you can really enjoy the experience. You can enjoy everybody's company. And then when you're done, you just get up and you leave. Just like you would at, when you go and eat dinner at a friend's house.
Awesome. That sounds great. Is there anything else that we didn't talk about that you would like to mention?
No, I think that just about covered
it. Good. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Jacob.
Thank you. Awesome. Yeah, it was a pleasure having you.
Yeah.
And that's it for this episode of StellaCast. Thanks so much for joining me. I hope you enjoyed that interview. You can check out StellaCast and Stella Culinary School and Ask Chef Jacob and all of our free cooking videos. All that stuff is found online at stellaculinary.com. And if you haven't already, I would highly recommend that you listen to the Stella Culinary School podcast from episode 1 all the way up. It's going to lay down a lot of foundational information that if you're interested in becoming a better cook is really important. And that's all free. It's available on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud.com/Stella Culinary. And of course, you have our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/Stella Culinary. Also, sign up for our free email newsletter. And if you have a cooking question, head on over to AskChefJacob.com and I will answer it in an upcoming podcast episode. All right, that's it. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it as always. Talk to y'all soon.